Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 27 to 52. Please feel free to follow along in your own Bible, a pew Bible, or on the screen. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. And they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I have to say, Isaac, you are a blessing. Thank you for praying those words. I needed to hear them today to be reminded in my heart to praise. That's what today is about. So thank you for those words. This story, my friends, is our story. And every year the church gathers together to tell it once again, beginning on those dusty Jerusalem streets with the crowd that dared together to celebrate the itinerant rabbi preacher that many had only heard about. Today, the story begins once again. Imagine just for a minute that you set your feet in the dust of Jerusalem too and look across the sunny stone streets, or in this case, maybe the sanctuary aisle. Hear the cries of a strange kind of protest. Did you hear them in Wesley Hall? Remember, The land that you were promised and your ancestors were promised no longer belongs to you. Israel was not a free country. They were a country that was occupied by a foreign empire and a bitter adversary. Imagine the crowded, chaotic street filled with people waving palm branches and spreading their coats along the road. How did it feel for you to have to stand in Wesley Hall and wait for what was coming? Were you excited to experience Jesus today? Or did you find yourself in the crowd a little bit annoyed? Did you grumble? Were you clamoring to see the one that we've all heard about, this Jesus of Nazareth? Have you heard about him? Do we dare proclaim him king today? As the people were pressing into the city, you catch bits of a story. I heard that he can make lepers clean, says one woman to another. A nearby man says, I heard that his birth was announced by angels. That can't be, said someone else. Who is he anyway? Moses himself? Who does he think he is? He heals on the Sabbath. He restores sight to the blind. Well, comes another voice, I have some relatives who live in the north. They say that there was this widow and her son had died. And Jesus of Nazareth brought him back from the dead at the funeral. My relatives say that they saw it for themselves. Everyone near stops and stares and looks at each other amazed. Maybe some were a little bit infuriated. Every time Jesus broke one of the rules by healing on the Sabbath or eating with someone who was considered unclean, he was saying that God's love embraces everyone. God's love is bigger than we can ever fathom. Just then, there's a commotion in the midst of the crowd. Jesus is coming closer. He's riding a colt. We all welcome him into the holy city. The crowd truly gives him a royal welcome, reminiscent of the welcome that they gave to David when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, dancing. They chant Hosanna together, and the crowd goes into a frenzy. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Did you shout praise today? Were you excited to experience the palm procession? 500 years earlier, Zechariah had announced that one day the king would arrive, triumphant and victorious, and that the prophecy was indelibly etched on the crowd's minds who had gathered in the streets. At least part of the crowd gathered is crying out, cheering Jesus on. They believed that he would lead and defeat the Romans. They would get their land back, their temple. The tax collectors would be gone. They would get to live by their own rules, once again, the laws that God had set for them. The descendant of David they had waited so long for, 14 generations, had suffered, endured, waiting, hoping for a Messiah. And now Jesus is here. Some gathered in this mob are cynical, because after all, God has been pretty quiet for all these years. The suffering at the hands of the Romans, the oppressors, it's like God has forgotten his chosen people. How can you feel chosen when the tax collector comes or your customs are mocked? Doubt can win out when you don't see or feel or hear God acting. Is this guy really the Messiah? No, it can't be. He's just Joseph's son, the son of a carpenter, after all. People didn't have the right to peaceably assemble at that time, much less assemble to declare a rabbi radical teacher to be king over and above the mighty empire. There's not supposed to be any ruler of Israel except Rome's emperor. And yet, here we are, gathering, chanting, cheering. Welcome to Holy Week, friends. It begins with our shouting and excitement, but turns on a dime. First of all, Jesus' so-called triumphal entry, although the crowd shouted Hosanna to greet him, it seems perfectly obvious that Jesus' procession is anything but triumphant. If this is hard for you to picture, this colt that Jesus rides, imagine a large, friendly dog about 3 feet tall at the shoulder. That's about the average size of a colt of a donkey. I imagine Jesus' feet are dragging in the dirt as he attempts to ride the animal. Jesus has no armor, but the cloaks of peasants, and he is lauded with palm branches and leaves instead of golden eagles on spears carried by procession of a Roman soldier. You see, it was Rome. Rome was the one that really loved a procession. Rome excelled at using a military parade as a demonstration of its dominance to keep its subjugated peasants in awe. And Jesus knew that Pilate, the Roman emperor, made a point of riding from his capital city in the Mediterranean coast every Passover to make sure that these crowds in Jerusalem that gathered stayed in line. Picture Pilate on the magnificent war horse, surrounded by a legion of Roman soldiers in red and gold armor, marching in lockstep as they enter the city gates. Jesus' little street parade, in contrast with the donkey and the palm fronds, it's an anti-imperial protest. He's mocking the empty pomp of the empire, questioning the brutality with which Rome is ruling the people and keeping Judea impoverished. After taking on the empire, Jesus goes straight to the temple and sets his eyes on the cross. The day after the peace demonstration, Jesus takes over the temple courtyard at the heart of the action for Passover week, and he stages a teach-in. Remember Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers? That's what he did on Monday before Passover. He tells thinly veiled parables about the religious leaders, which cast them in very bad light. This goes on for several days. By the time Wednesday rolls around, Jesus denounces the religious leaders openly. Beware. Beware of the scribes, he says, who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They will devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, they'll say really long prayers. The religious leaders think they control access to God's grace by controlling the temple. The only way to get a little bit of grace was for you to pay up. All the money changers that were there to facilitate your purchase of the correct sacrificial animal, which for the right price, the priest would offer to God on your behalf. The price was the same whether you were a poor widow or a rich merchant. From the start of Jesus' ministry, his central message has been, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that, my friends, is a dangerous message, for it challenges both the secular and the religious authorities. If God is king over all, then Caesar is not. And in Jesus' vision of God's kingdom, God's love is not mediated by the priest in the temple, but is free and available to all of us who are gathered here. Is it any wonder that both the Jewish and the Roman leaders wanted Jesus dead? This royal welcome disappears very quickly. We humans, we're fickle creatures. That's the naked truth of who we are. Our momentary courage often precedes our running away. One by one, each disciple runs away in their own way. What is it that the people saw, or better yet, wanted to see in Jesus? What did the disciples want to see? What did Peter see that would make him blindly proclaim that he would never depart? What did Judas see in Jesus that he would follow? And what did the people and the disciples see in Jesus that would make them one by one desert him, betray him, crucify him? What would cause the crowd that had gathered around him as he entered the city to so quickly turn? Had Jesus changed that much between the time he was hailed the Messiah to the time in the garden right before his arrest and trial? Was he different? Jesus may have been arrested and tried, but it was the people who were on trial. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was admonished by the Pharisees to silence his followers, but Jesus would not. When he was being taunted by the guards and the soldiers, Jesus wouldn't silence them. When he was being taken to a place that he would die, the crowds had gathered and they were hurling insults his way. And when he was hung on the cross, he was mocked. But Jesus didn't silence them. Those final days and hours became a courtroom scene in which the people were all put on trial. And they testified against themselves. When have we declared our loyalty for a person or a team and then backed off when there were questions or there was prolonged losing or we felt really disappointed and heartbroken? When have we run away or kept silent as someone else was being hurt or falsely accused or unable to defend themselves? When have we ever joined in poking fun at someone who's different from ourselves, rather than separating ourselves from the masses? Why do we want to run from this story? By the time Good Friday has rolled around, no one is left to lay down branches or cloaks for Jesus, much less chant Hosanna for him. All, including his disciples, have abandoned him. Jesus was on his own. Our own joyous Hosannas on this day are themselves muffled by the flat and sober recitation of the Passion narrative. The crowd which today shouts Hosanna will on Friday shout Crucify him. They will come to fully understand the danger that Jesus poses to their stability and to ours today. They will see that Jesus is not a military leader, and they will sacrifice him for continued peace with Rome. How often do we sacrifice time spent in God's presence and instead focus on our own busy schedules and agendas, and we forget what Christ has done for each of us? This is our story. One of Jesus' closest followers will betray him. Most of the disciples will desert when things get tough. The religious leaders, convinced that they're protecting Judaism from the upstart prophet, they'll plot with cynical Roman politicians to kill. For a moment, just a moment, it is good that we walk through Holy Week this week, which begins today. We have much dying to do. Dying to our own motives and selfishness. Dying to complaining and pettiness. Dying to putting ourselves first over ones that are invisible in this world. Dying to our own naked truth of things that keep us from running away from Christ. Yet, as a community of Christians here today, and as individuals, it is, as Paul tells us, in dying that we all live. Take a look at the cross and remember this Holy Week. Today, let us set our feet on the road to the Last Supper, to the garden to pray, to the cross and to the tomb. And while we may already know the ending, pretend just for a moment that we don't. The disciples that gathered there certainly didn't know. Come walk through the stations that you'll find around the sanctuary sometime this week and experience as a family once again this story. Join us on Thursday and remember by taking communion as a family, just as the disciples celebrated Passover. Come and sit with the uncomfortable feeling of Good Friday. And remember once again why it's good. It's our story, church. Don't run away. Plant your feet in the dust of Jerusalem this day and journey with Christ. This Holy Week is life. This story is our life. Joy, love, fear, grief, betrayal, pain, even the ordinary, gathering together to eat, drink, washing. This place, beloved, is where we learn both joy and grief, celebration and pain. We do it in church. Here. Here we get to see that our ordinary lives echo the life and love of Jesus Christ, the Eternal. We see our imperfect lives, the naked truth of who we are, when we sit at the foot of the cross, reflecting in the perfect and saving love of Christ. And in it, may you too find some seed of hope, because resurrection does come. This is a difficult day. It should be for each of us. We're asked to look in the mirror and see who we are and what we are capable of, both the good and the bad. We can announce our loyalty and be persuaded to abandon that loyalty in short measure. We can betray another for the sake of our own safety and run away in times of trouble. There are not things we like to think about in ourselves, and certainly not things we want to talk about with others. But we share them with each other as fallible human beings. May we be reminded of this week is about God's love for each of us. It's about a God who longs to be in relationship with us as we are. This day and this week are about a new relationship with God, made possible by God's love. Enter this week in humility. Expect to see yourself in the frailty of people like Peter and Judas, the soldiers, and Pilate. Enter the week in joy, anticipating the power of God to work in and through our naked truth to make us new through God's mercy. Enter this week with thanksgiving, for the hope that we have depends not upon ourselves, but upon a loving God who won't let us go. Most of all, this week, run to the cross and remember once again. I invite us in this time, we're going to take just a minute, to think about some things that might hold us back from following Christ. I'm going to invite us to sit in a moment of silence and reflect on those things in our heart. You'll find at the end of your pews some containers, and it has pieces, strips of wax. Take one of those strips of wax. You might want to draw a symbol. You might want to write a word, something that comes to your heart as you reflect. As we sit in the uncomfortable silence for a minute, think about those things that you need to turn over. At the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to take these things and bring it down and stick it onto our Christ candle. We'll be using this candle as a sign and a symbol that Christ is with us as we journey through this Holy Week. So, let's sit for a minute. Let's offer up those things that hold us back from following Christ. And prepare to turn it over to God as we walk to the cross once again. This story is our story. May we journey to the cross once again. And all God's children said,